Johnson over to Ramsey. The Legionov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Maybe the greatest call in sports history, maybe the greatest moment in sports history, and it happened 41 years ago to the date. Welcome in. It's the Monday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. As always, we love hearing from you on our social media accounts. You can find us username at Doug Russell Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. You can always email the show, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook as well. Just search for the Doug Russell Podcast. And for all of that in one easy place that you can find at your fingertips, just go to DougRussellPod.com. All right, we are talking about the miracle on ice, and for a number of different reasons. Because it was culturally significant, because it was significant from the standpoint of this was a huge upset. And you really, if you're not of a certain age, I don't think can fully appreciate it. Maybe you've seen the movie, and I think that would probably help younger folks' understanding of just how important Miracle on Ice was. When it happened, at least as far as I'm concerned, I was 9 years old in 1980, 8 years old, 7 years old in 1980. And I didn't have a full understanding of what was going on. I knew that it was a big deal. It was not shown live, by the way. Back in 1980, many sporting events were not shown live. The Super Bowl was, the World Series was, the NBA Finals was not. The Stanley Cup Final, you couldn't find without cable television. The Olympics were mostly on tape delay. Even something as big as the United States versus the Soviet Union in hockey. It was David versus Goliath in every sense of the way. Culturally, we'll get to it in a second, but every story that has a David versus Goliath needs a Goliath. And if you look at the Soviet Union, they were that Goliath. They had won each of the previous 4 Olympic gold medals in hockey and 12 gold medals in the 16 world championships that they had played in the 2 previous decades, from 1961 to 1979. Taking it a step further, the Soviet Union also now won all 12 matchups with the United States between 1960 and 1980. They were 12-0 against us. They outscored us 117 goals to 26. Even when the U.S. had NHL players playing for Team USA in the 1976 Canada Cup, they got crushed by the Soviets, outscored 9-2 in 2 matchups. And just a couple of weeks prior, in an exhibition game to Miracle on Ice, the Soviets blew out Team USA 10-3 in an exhibition game at Madison Square Garden, just a week before the Olympic Games began. Then there are some crazy statistics from the Miracle on Ice game itself, again, 41 years ago. Let's consider this. The USSR, Soviet Union, they had 52 shot attempts. The United States had 25. 52 to 25. If you look at 5-on-5 situations, the USSR held a 46-21 shot attempt advantage. As far as shots on goal, shots that hit the target, the official box score credited the Soviet Union with 39 shots on goal. 31 of those were 5-on-5 shots on goal. The United States had just 16, so 39-16 shots on goal. And then in five-on-five situations, Team USA had 7 shots on goal. So that means that 71% of the shots on goal in this game came from the Soviets. And when you talk about five-on-five, that percentage jumps to 81.6%. If you know hockey, this is not a formula to win. Running a possession deficit with that much of a gap in between, that doesn't lead to winning hockey. And it almost never happens. Consider this. Over the past 3 NHL postseasons, only 5 playoff games out of the 258 played had a possession disparity as large or larger than what we saw in Miracle on Ice. Let's look at the number of scoring chances the U.S. allowed. Now, according to ESPN's manually tracked data, the Soviets accounted for 20 scoring chances on 5-on-5 situations that were unblocked shots that came from within the quote-unquote more dangerous area of the ice. The U.S. counterpunch, 7 total scoring chances. 7! That's insane! It means, at the end of the day, the Soviets had 74.1% of the scoring chances in this game during 5-on-5 situations, but scored on only 2 of them. The United States converted on 3 of their 7. That's, again, you look at the statistics of this game itself, there's no way. We'll get to the cultural aspect of it in a minute. We went through some of the history of it in a minute. You just look at the box score of this game, there's no way, except for the number of goals that actually went into the net. If you just look at the statistics of this box score, Team USA probably should have lost 8-1, maybe. It maybe should have looked like that exhibition game that they played at Madison Square Garden several weeks earlier. So what happened? Jim Craig happened. The star of the show was the man in the net. Jim Craig played the game of his life between the pipes. He had a .923 save percentage against the Soviets that day. He had 36 saves. That was far better than his percentage at Boston University. His percentage at Boston University was .882. .923 in Miracle on Ice, .882 at Boston University. And he only played 30 games in the NHL, and his save percentage against shots on goal in the NHL was only .857. But in this game, he was incredible. Without Jim Craig, there is no Miracle on Ice. His ability to deflect shots away and not allow second chances, that was the only way that this was able to happen. Again, going back to the ESPN analytics, Jim Craig also stopped 8 of 10 what they call high danger scoring chances over the course of the game. Those are shots that come from areas on the ice most likely to result in a goal. And he just deflected and deflected and what they call in hockey, standing on your head. That's the only way that Miracle on Ice truly happened. Now you can talk about Herb Brooks and his strategy. That was, which was a great strategy. You can talk about any other individual performances. You can talk about staring Goliath in the face and defeating him. You can talk about all of that. And it's all true. But without Jim Craig and his incredible, mind-boggling performance, Miracle on Ice simply doesn't happen. All right, so that's the game. Culturally, though, Miracle on Ice was more than just an athletic contest. This was a game about American pride, which had been so wounded in 1980. If you are old enough to remember, this will be simply a refresher. If you are not, here's what was going on in 1980. We were dealing with an energy crisis. lines at the gas pump. I mean, long lines at the gas pump. Down the street lines at the gas pump. Our hostages were still almost a year away from coming home from Iran. If you're old enough to remember that, dominating the news every single night. We were still less than 6 years away from the embarrassment of Watergate and our president resigning in disgrace. Vietnam was only a few years in the rearview mirror as well. President Carter, a good man but a flawed president, was terribly unpopular. Americanism, national pride, whatever you want to call it, was at an all-time low. The Cold War looked like a war that we were losing. So this was more than a hockey game. And it made legends out of guys like Jim Craig, who we talked about a moment ago. Badgers women's coach Mark Johnson, a legend in the University of Wisconsin men's hockey team, but he's become one of the best women's coaches in all of college athletics right now in Madison. He became a legend 41 years ago. Ken Morrow, who later that year would go on to win the Stanley Cup. And the captain, Mike Arruzzioni, who I got a chance to catch up with a few years ago on the eve of the Winter Olympics.
First of all, this has got to get your blood going. 1980 was when you guys did it in Lake Placid. Every 4 years, it comes up again. And look, we're right smack dab in at the start of the Olympic Games.
Yeah, it's always an exciting time for I guess any Olympian, myself included. When the Olympic Games come around, you kind of reminisce in your mind about what it was like as you were preparing to participate and play. And you know, when an athlete puts on a shirt that says USA across the front, it's always something that you want to watch and hope they do well at.
As far as what the athletes go through leading up to the Olympic Games, what goes through their minds?
Well, you know, I think the big thing is probably a lot of them are relieved that they finally got there.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know, they had trained so hard, they had intense competition amongst their own countrymen, and then to be selected and finally make the team. When you marched in last night, you got a sense of relief knowing that now you've made it. Now today starts getting ready. You know, the mental aspect of it, preparing. Some athletes have a bunch of days to prepare. Some have different races they'll run. Others have one day and they race once and the Olympics are over for them. So it really is that one moment in time, that one shot that they're going to have.
I know you were there in Salt Lake City for the opening ceremonies of the last time the Olympic Games were held in the United States. Before that, of course, was Lake Placid, at least as far as the Winter Games are concerned. Did you miss not being there at all last night in Torino?
Yeah, I think I missed it a little. You know, I do understand that I can't go to every Olympics, although I will be there in a couple of weeks over in Italy for the last 6 days. But I was in my hotel room here in Washington and watched everything, and I was very impressed with how the Italians went about, you know, the celebration of the Olympic Games. And like I said, I'll be there in a few weeks. Currently, I'm just traveling around doing a little fundraising for the Olympic Committee with Bank of America. Bank of America has this new program out there called Keep the Change, where money that you spend on your debit card, a portion of that proceeds will go to the Olympic Games and to our Olympic athletes and the training facilities. And
that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's needed so much today. I mean, we talk about big name sports and big time athletes, but when you look at the Olympics and you have your, you know, your bobsledders and your luges and your cross country skiers, they need this type of corporate sponsorship, and Bank of America has stepped forward, and it gives the Americans an opportunity to contribute through their debit card to raise money for our athletes. So it's kind of nice that I'm a part of that. And I know, you know, we're going to talk about the Olympics, but for anybody that's listening, if you go on bankofamerica.com, you'll see how you can get involved and help raise funds. So having said all that, I'm looking forward to going over after this campaign kindly kicks off and gets going and watch the games.
Mike Arruzzioni joining us here on the StubHub.com guest line. As far as some of the other city, or as far as some of the other countries, I know that they're federally funded, not so much with the Olympic athletes in the United States.
No, and that's the thing. You know, there's a saying, America doesn't send its athletes to the Olympic Games, Americans do. And without that corporate sponsorship, we wouldn't have the training facilities that we have. Our athletes wouldn't have the opportunities that it seems other countries are able to give their athletes. And you know, I understand not everybody going to be able to write a check for $10,000 or $5,000, but through this Keep the Change program, you're able to, you know, donate 50 cents, a dollar, $2, and it's being matched by Bank of America. So there are ways for everybody to get involved. And I think, to me, it makes it that much more enjoyable. You know, if you know that you gave $100 to our Olympic training program, and you sit at home and you watch the Olympic Games and think, you know, I helped that those athletes in whatever small way, it makes it more rewarding when you watch them and know that you helped make the dream come true for these athletes.
Yeah, it's called Keep the Change. Go to bankofamerica.com. Mike Arruzzioni, our guest, joining us on the StubHub.com guest line here on the Doug Russell Show on Sporting News Radio. Let me ask you about the games in and of themselves. Obviously, yeah, for reasons of historical significance, you're going to be interested in the hockey coming up. But what are some of the other sports that Mike Arruzzioni gets into in the Winter Games?
Well, I obviously have to say the women's hockey also. I'm really excited about the opportunity that the ladies are going to have to win an Olympic gold medal. So you're right, I do watch hockey, but I love the women's game as well. I'm a big speed skating guy.
Okay.
I really look forward to watching the speed skating competition. Figure skating a little. Love the skiers, love the downhill, like the snowboarders. I think that's pretty exciting. But usually I like to sit and watch the speed skaters. I like to see that clock ticking and you know, what times they have to hit. And, you know, over the years with Eric Heiden and Bonnie Blair and Dan Jansen.
We had Dan on the program a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best. So, you know, when you watch that kind of competition, I look forward to seeing our athletes, and our speed skaters should do well this time around.
As far as NHL players playing in the Olympic Games, I know that the league takes a couple of weeks off to allow the world's best professional athletes to participate in the Games. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I also understand the Olympics of today aren't the Olympics of 1980 or 1970. It has changed, and I am not a big fan of the pros in the Olympics. I really think I'd like to see our young players, our college players, our amateur players go over and compete. You know, one of the things that I guess I don't like is the format or the setup. You know, these teams that go over there, they practice for 2 days, 3 days at best, and then they play. To me, I don't think it's conducive many times to the best team. I'd like to see them go to the World Cup or Canada Cup and prove it, where they practice for 3 weeks or a month, and they have an opportunity to develop the chemistry that you need in order to become a good team and a successful team. So I don't think the format kind of dictates that. Also, I think the Europeans have a little bit of an advantage because the Olympic Games are played on a bigger sheet of ice,
mm-hmm.
and they grew up playing on that sheet of ice. So I think it's a little easier for them to adapt than it is for the North American players. You know, although Canada won the last Olympics and a favorite to win it again this year, that just tells you how good a talented team they are. But I think sometimes chemistry is important when you win, and you can't get that chemistry so quickly in 3 days of practice.
Kind of in that same vein, as long as we're talking about the NHL, it's been kind of a tough road to hoe for Gary Bettman and company over the course of the last at least, you know, 2 or 3 years, specifically the lockout that wiped out all of last season, and then the news this week that Rick Tocchet, Wayne Gretzky, among others, are at least have some knowledge of a gambling scandal that's going on in hockey. That's got to break your heart.
Yeah, well, I think the Olympics maybe are coming at the right time for the NHL.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Keep the focus off what's happening elsewhere and get it back on the game and the sport of hockey, which it should be. You know, I don't know much about the situation other than what I've read in the newspapers. And as Wayne said, you know, until somebody's proven guilty, let's just wait and see what happens here. But, you know, I think we've got to focus on the sport of hockey in general. I think we've got to focus on the Olympic Games, which is where these athletes are going now and going to compete. Hopefully the other situation will get resolved, and it won't be a black eye for hockey. So, you know, let's look to the future, and that is what's coming up in the next few weeks of what should be a great tournament.
The captain of the 1980 Do You Believe in Miracles U.S. hockey team, Mike Arruzzioni, joining us live here on the Doug Russell Show on Sporting News Radio. As the captain of the team, is it kind of your job to keep in touch with the rest of your teammates?
Actually, not really. I've always felt I was a captain amongst captains. You know, we've got 20 guys in that team that were all captains of their colleges or high schools. So we keep in touch just based on our friendship and our relationships. You know, a lot of guys live in Minnesota, so they get to see each other a little more often. I live in Boston and don't get to see the Minnesota guys often, but talk to them quite a bit. We've had a couple of little golf outings where the guys have gotten together. We're actually planning one for Boston this summer. So, you know, there's a bond and a friendship that we have that we will always have, and it's just hard to get 20 guys together.
I heard something about a story of you on the links with Roger Clemens and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
We just came back. It was a few weeks ago. We played together in the Bob Hope, And fortunately, through Matthew and Roger's brilliant play, I think I helped out a little, we were able to win the tournament, and it was an absolute blast. It was awesome. You know, playing with Roger Clemens, I'm a Boston guy, and still hoping the Red Sox can bring him back.
I was going to ask you about that. You think the Red Sox, they're going to make a pitch for him?
I think they're going to make a pitch. Why wouldn't they? And I kept telling, it was funny, I said to Roger on the first tee, I said, Roger, when should I start talking to you about becoming a member of the Red Sox? And he said, if you make a few birdies, he said, you can talk to me. So I birdied the first and the third hole, and I looked at him, and I said, can I start talking now? And he started laughing. He was an absolute pleasure and a great competitor. Now you know why Roger was a great pitcher in baseball, because he competed on the golf course for 4 days. And Matthew was awesome to play with. I told him I think he's a great actor, but he's a great person. We had a lot of fun and fortunately won the whole tournament. And I told him I'd become a Longhorn fan for a couple of days as long as we keep playing as well as we were playing.
Well, Roger, I mean, he's a Texas guy, too.
Well, and so is Matthew.
Right.
And then we played one day with Justin Leonard, who's a Texas guy, and then we played with Chad Campbell, who's a Texas guy. So I'm a Boston guy, but I became a Texan for a few days. I kept saying y'all and how you doing. And I had a lot of fun with them, and it was a real trip for me and a blast.
Mike Arruzzioni joining us here on the Doug Russell Show on SportingNews.com. Again, keep the change. And, BankofAmerica.com.
Yes, go on that website, and you'll be able to see how you can get involved with your Bank of America debit card to help fund our athletes. And, again, like I said, not so much the ones that are competing. They're there now. But you go to our training centers, and you see some of these young kids for the dream and hope of representing their country.
The great Mike Arruzzioni from Miracle on Ice. Thought you'd enjoy that conversation from a few years ago. But wanted to bring it back to you here on the 41st anniversary of maybe the most culturally significant sporting event in history. All right, that's it for today. Coming up later this week, the Bucks. Have they turned the corner after a lifeless 5-game losing streak? Well, they've won their last two. The competition hasn't been great. It's not going to get any better, at least on Tuesday, when the team with the NBA's worst record, the 7-24 Minnesota Timberwolves, come into town with a new coach after they fired Ryan Saunders over the weekend because they have been just awful. Also, college basketball. Are there any expectations at all for the Wisconsin Badgers in the upcoming NCAA tournament? And what's next for Marquette after another year of frustration under Steve Wojciechowski? It is a Basketball Friday. We will hit the hardwood hard, plus a look at the Brewers in 2021 as spring training ramps up with Cactus League action, believe it or not, beginning on Sunday. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.